Welcome back to session four of this course on spiritual gifts. We're glad that each and every one of you is back with us, those in our class and those who are watching by video. In the last session, I talked a little bit about God's way to know our spiritual gifts. I mentioned that taking a spiritual gifts test or inventory probably isn't the best way. It can be helpful, especially for you to understand your abilities, but often it says what you do well and not what others or what God does through you. And then I talked about what is God's way. Very simple. Revelation. He reveals it in His time and in His way. So how do you know? Get in there and serve. Try doing some things. And once you have tried a variety of things, along the way, ask people, what have you seen happen in my life? Listen to what people say to you. And then we talked about, most importantly, ask God. That God will tell you if you just take the time and in faith ask Him and listen to His answer. Well, in this session, we're going to tie in spiritual gifts with calling. That was the beginning of our session, session one. And spiritual gifts, just by itself, will not have impact. Spiritual gifts have to be tied to something, as you'll see in this session. You may remember the movie The Wizard of Oz. One of my favorite movies as a child. Though I have to admit, whenever the Wicked Witch of the East got on there, West or whatever it was, she scared me. I would listen to the music, and I'd want to run from the room. But The Wizard of Oz is an all-time favorite for many, many people. You know, it was produced in 1939, and interestingly enough, it did not win an Academy Award. It happened to be produced in a year when many movies that are considered classics were also produced. And the winner that year was Gone with the Wind. But I think this is one that is equally beloved by many people. And you remember Dorothy lands in her house from a tornado in the mythical land of Oz, and she is off to see the wizard, and she is by herself. And as she's traveling along on the yellow brick road, she comes to a fork in the road. Huh. Which way do I go? Well, there happens to be a scarecrow there. And much to the surprise of Dorothy, the scarecrow says, some people like to go that way. And she goes, was that you? And of course it was a scarecrow. And he says, but some people like to go that way. And then there are those people who like to go both ways. And Dorothy helps the scarecrow down off of the fence. They choose a route to go, and off they go to see the Wizard of Oz. Well, when you come to a fork in the road, you have to choose. That's when God can provide the answers and show you the path to go. We talked about the importance of doing that with your spiritual gift. It's just as important in terms of knowing which way do you go in serving. There are many places you can serve in the church. Among all of those places, where do you serve? Spiritual gifts do not tell you where to serve. Every ministry needs spiritual gifts. Every ministry needs a teacher, needs somebody with helps, needs somebody with intercession, needs somebody with discernment. They all need the spiritual gifts. So how do you know where to plug in? How do you know which one is the right one for you? Well, God has answered that question by placing within your heart a certain audience, a certain group of people, or a certain social issue where you can make a difference. And He's embedded within you a desire to make a difference in that audience's environment. So when you have a spiritual gift, you have to give your spiritual gift to someone or something. It can't just be given to everyone and expect to be effective. So in Psalm 37, verse 4, God clearly tells us that he's given us a place that is the desire of our heart. Psalm 37, verse 4, is a place that tells us that God has embedded within us certain things that are unique to us, certain desires that we have that we know will help us to make a difference. Psalm 37, 4 says, "Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart." Now notice it doesn't say that, "Lord, give me the desires of my heart, and I'll be delighted." It says, first, delight yourself in the Lord. You have to have a relationship that's alive, that's ongoing, that's moment by moment, and then God will give you the desires of your heart, the things embedded within you that you long to do to make a difference. And among those things is your audience. And there are two different types of audiences: groups of people, social institutions. Now, what do we mean by audience? Well, those of you in business, you probably have spent time trying to identify your audience. And what you mean is, who is most likely to buy our product? All right, we've got a product, we've got a service to sell. Who's the most likely person to buy that? And that's why during the daytime, you will see many, many products advertised that are geared towards women. Because even though women are making inroads into the marketplace, breaking the glass ceiling, there are still many women who are home with their children during the day or are home by choice, and they have certain things they're interested in that men would not necessarily be interested in. I'm not particularly concerned about pantyhose and which one should I wear, or cosmetics and which ones should I use, or which soap is going to make my clothes the brightest. However, those women who are at home, that's very important to them. And so the audience for those products would be women. When do you reach the women? You reach them in the daytime. How about when a sporting game is on? When you're watching football, or when you're watching cricket, or when you're watching any sport you enjoy? What kinds of products are advertised then? Cars and beer. All right. Why? Because that is what men like. And men are watching the sports for the most part. So an audience is, we have a product, we have a service. Who is our audience, and when are they most likely to be receptive to our message? Well, the same thing applies in the church. We're not selling a product. We're not selling a service. In the sense, the audience is, who do you give your gift to? You can give it to everybody, but you will spread your effectiveness out. Think of a bullseye, a target. All right? Round target. You've got several different rings. You've got the bullseye in the center. The idea is, hit the bullseye. The bullseye is your audience. Now, if I use my spiritual gift and I don't use it on my bullseye audience, it'll still have some impact if it lands out here on this part of the target or over here or over here. But I want it to hit the bullseye because that's where it'll be most effective. So it's a matter of identifying your bullseye. Well, one group that is related to your bullseye happens to be groups of people. So as I share this with you, think about how God has used you. Where has He drawn your heart like a magnet towards a group of people? That when you're with this group of people, you come alive. You enjoy being with them. You want to spend time with them. You hope to have some impact in their lives. All of us have some group that kind of lines up with that. One would be people of a certain age. There are some people who love working with children. Children make them come alive. There's something about kids. I have been in many places in the world, and the one thing I can tell you is kids are kids no matter where you go. They want to run and laugh and play, sometimes fight. Kids are kids, and some people come alive when they're with them. And other people say, I really want to work with adults, or I kind of like teenagers. You know, they're just developing. I still can have impact on them. Other people say, you know, when I want to work with people is as they're older, because their health begins to decline and they're not as sharp as they used to be, and I'd like to help and assist them. Somewhere along the line, there's a group for you. And it may be one of those, but that's not the only place. It can also be gender. All right? Typically, males may be drawn to working with other males. I know many people who have a heart to help men become men of God. And they just know how to draw men together, doing activities, having fun. And there are women who have a similar role with women. And truthfully, it's a lot easier for the women, because God has kind of wired women up to come together and to support one another. Guys have been taught along the way that we have to compete with each other. You know, that somebody's got to be number one, somebody's got to be alpha dog. And so we don't necessarily find it as easy to trust other men, because they'll have the competitive advantage. But there are people who either are drawn to working with men, drawn working with women. It usually doesn't work where men with women, women with men. That's more about dating relationships and marriage. But there's also another category of age group of groups of people that has to do with life experiences. And often the people that you're drawn to are the people where you've shared a similar life experience. For example, if a person gets divorced and they go through the process of recovery and moving on with their lives, guess who their heart is sensitive to? Other people who have gone through a divorce. I've gone through the loss of my wife. I am far more sensitive to people who have lost a loved one, especially unexpectedly, and especially early in life. I will never again view the loss of a loved one the same way. I will never again go to a wake or a funeral and tell someone, she's in a better place. God must have needed her. You'll see her again. You know what? I learned, I don't want to hear that. What I want is I want somebody to come, throw their arms around me, cry, and say, I am so sorry. How do I know that? I've learned it through my experience. And guess what I do when I go to see people who have lost a loved one? I'm so sorry. It's often through your pain that you find the audience that you want to work with. And you can pick anything. It could be an addiction that you've gone through, alcoholism, and you're a recovering alcoholic, and now you want to help other recovering alcoholics to overcome this particular disease. It may be you've adopted a child because you couldn't have a child on your own. And now you want to help other people go through that same experience and find the joy that you have found and deal with the pain you experienced on not being able to have a child naturally. It's often through the hard times that we find the most fulfilling times later on. There's also the groups of people you may be drawn to based on marital status. I want to work with couples. I want to work with singles. I want to work with divorced. I want to work with widowed. And there's also the group based on where they are spiritually. I'm not a Christian, and I want to bring them to Christ. I'm a new Christian, and I want them to grow in their faith. I'm a maturing Christian struggling with being consistent in my walk. Or I'm a mature Christian who walks with Jesus regularly and who wants other people to know Christ as he's allowed me to know him. So think of a group that you might be drawn to. Somewhere along the line, there is a group you enjoy being with, a group that you want to make a difference with. The Bible has several examples of this. In the Old Testament, and I'm just going to give you a few, in the Old Testament, think of Jonah. Now, Jonah wasn't particularly drawn to these people, but God gave him a direction to go and speak to the people of Nineveh. So the Ninevites benefited from the message that God gave him. And in the New Testament, of course, there's Paul. Paul felt drawn to the Gentiles. Peter felt drawn to the Jewish, people of Jewish faith. Or in our modern times, think of Billy Graham. He's drawn to those who don't know Christ, and he's preached to millions of people around the world. One of the most remarkable Christian men in history. He's been alive and in ministry for some 70 years, and he has never had a scandal in his life that would deter his witness for Christ. Remarkable. And think of Mother Teresa, now with the Lord, but her desire was to help those who were poor and the homeless and those who were hurting in Calcutta, in India. So even in the Bible, even in modern times, you can pick out people who had a heart for someone else and chose to give their gift to them to help them. Mother Teresa with compassion, Paul with evangelism and teaching, Jonah with the proclamation of a message through prophecy. They gave what they had to other people, what God had given them. So groups of people are often where you find an audience to give your gift to, but it's not the only one. The other one deals with social institutions, social issues. And I'm just going to read a list of the possible institutions, and then I'm going to pick a couple to explain. There's too many for me to go over individually. But some people might have a heart to impact business and the people who work in business. Or you may have a heart to impact the church. And I don't mean your church. I mean the church, universal. All those who are Christians. It may be that it has to do with government, and you want to impact your government. Or the rule of law and justice. It may be the institution of marriage and parenting. It might be the media in its various forms. It might be the military or schools, something near and dear to my heart. Or it might be relief from misery. And I'm just going to pick a few out. Let's talk about business. If you work in business, perhaps you have a passion to help people develop their leadership. Because in business, leaders help the business grow. Or it may be that as a Christian, you have a desire to bring people into relationships with other Christians who are in business. And so you help those people form small groups. If you're in the church, it might be that you have a desire for church outreach, or that you have a desire for music that glorifies God. And there is nothing like music to really stir the heart towards worship. A friend of mine told me that there are filters we have on our mind for the spoken word. We are so used to people inundating us with words that we are very good at listening without really listening, nodding our heads at appropriate times, laughing when everybody else is laughing, but we're thinking of all the things we have to do later on because we have filters. But she told me there are two things we have no filters for. They go right through the head, right to the heart. One is music and one is drama. Those two things will touch people's hearts like nothing else. And so you may have a heart to use music to touch people's lives. Or with marriage enrichment. Maybe you have a great marriage and you want to keep it a great marriage. And you want to help other people have a great marriage. Or maybe you're struggling with parenting your children and you desperately need some skills in being a good mom or being a good dad. And you need to develop a program where moms and dads can come together and support one another. And the thing that happens is when you get in a group like that, you realize, I'm not alone. Other moms and dads are struggling with raising their kids. And maybe we can struggle together. And maybe we can learn some skills that will help our kids grow healthy and strong and walk with the Lord. The last example would be social relief. You know, there are all kinds of opportunities for this. A hurricane hits, a typhoon hits, a famine strikes. There's all sorts of natural disasters that take place. And people are in misery. You may have a heart to help groups like Compassion International, Doctors Without Borders, groups that are able to go in and assist those who are struggling in very desperate situations. Well, not only do you have a spiritual gift that you give to someone so that you know how to serve, you do your spiritual gift, you know who to serve, your audience, but then God has also put on your heart a desire to have a certain impact on your audience. And that we call passion. Gift, audience, passion. I have a gift, I give it to my audience, it has this effect on them. And that is a calling. When you have a gift, you give it to an audience, it has this impact. That is why God has put you here. I said 80% was spiritual gift. I would say 10% is the audience. And the other 10% is the passion, the impact you have on them.
We strive to serve the contemporary Christian community with a variety of Christian educational and evangelistic resources. To see TVS Seminary's database, please visit tvsseminary.com.
I will explain a little bit about my own. My gift, as I've told you, is teaching. And as I've looked at the opportunities God has given me and the groups that I'm drawn to, it consistently is Christian adults. I've worked with children. I like children, but I don't feel drawn to working with children full time. I've tried working in ministries that deal with building relationships among men. I liked it, but it didn't really energize me. But when I work with Christian adults and I teach Christian adults, there's something that happens. And what do I want to have happen? What would be the impact? That they would know their unique purpose in life. That's what God has put me here on earth to do. That's why I take up space in earth. That's why I breathe the air. And that's why God has allowed me to work with you, because that is my calling. So as you look at your life, not only look at what is my spiritual gift, what is the audience, but what is the passion that I have? How did I come to know that this was mine? I got alone with God for a half day at the suggestion of a friend. And he told me, go spend time alone with God and go with a question. And when you have that question, think of a part of Scripture that might have to do with that question. Spend time reading the passage over and over again, taking notes, praying through it, asking God to show you. So I got alone in a state park. It happened to be a day where it was pouring rain, which was good because nobody else was there. I sat under a sheltered picnic table, and I asked God this question, why am I here on earth? You know, just a small question for God to answer. Why am I here on earth? Well, at the suggestion of my friend, I took the Upper Room Discourse, where Jesus is with his disciples for the last time. It goes from John 13 to John 17. And I'm reading and I'm studying and I'm praying and I'm singing and I'm worshiping and I'm walking, you know, to just enjoy creation. And nothing's coming. And right at the end of the day, God leads me to a verse, John 17:4. And I'm just reading along. I'm not expecting anything to happen. It's just like, okay, I'm here. This is the end of it. I've gone through this about 3-4 times already. And as I get to John 17:4, I felt the hair on the back of my neck, which I do have, by the way, not just hair up here. And I knew that God was going to say something to me. And he said, I've brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do, a verse that I used previously. And suddenly I realized Jesus had work to do. Only Jesus could do it. And when Jesus did it, God received glory. And I went, that's it. I'm supposed to teach people to do their unique work that only they can do so God receives glory. And it was like the sky parted, my eyes opened, and I recognized this is what God had prepared me to do. I have a gift of teaching. I love to teach adults. And I am to show them that just like Jesus, you have work to do. Only you can do it. And when you do it, God receives the glory and you will hear well done. So how does all of that become effective? How does it actually take place? Well, that has to do with our next session on the Holy Spirit.